Today's program was brought to you by Estes Public Relations. For more information, visit estespr.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Welcome to November, y'all.
Yeah.
It's getting cold, man.
Yeah, we're moving into winter.
Dude, I'm kind of psyched, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not my time of year.
I know. We've talked about this before. It's not really mine either, but I don't know. This one seems a little different, you know?
I will. Get excited.
All right, cool.
I just got back from San Diego.
Oh, yeah. I'm currently in Portland.
Live from the future.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer warm weather. Our guest today is from Hawaii. She prefers warm weather as well. In the studio today, we have Blaine Ashley. And you're going to be talking to us about some bubbly wine, right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Champagne.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Specifically
thank you for having
champagne.
Me.
Okay, right.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
New York Champagne Week.
It just reminded me of that line from Wayne's World where she's like, oh, I've never had French champagne. That's pretty awesome. Anyway. Right?
You know, maybe I don't think I have either.
So, yeah, welcome to the show. Let's talk about Champagne Week.
Yes.
Which is really awesome. This is like, what, the fourth year?
Yeah.
Cool. Congratulations.
I can't believe I've made it this far.
Yeah. Well, I can. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Champagne Week.
The fourth annual New York Champagne Week is coming up on November 7th through the 13th. 7 days this year, which is insane.
Wow.
We have 14.
An actual Champagne Week.
That's a week.
Yeah. People tend to call their weeks and their 3 days, but this is an actual week.
Wow. Cool.
So it's exciting. We do a lot of champagne seminars, tasting classes, pairing experiences. We're not really popping bottles in clubs that a lot of people would tend to think.
I'm not coming.
that was reserved for first
You just
year.
Lost me.
You've grown but up.
You don't have like a seminar on sabering bottles?
We are sabering, doing a saber seminar during a launch of a new champagne called Champagne Piaf. These people like travel with their sabers, they're obsessed with it. So they're going to saber bottles at that event. Yeah.
You have a pretty decent like insurance policy, right?
It's on them. It's on them. I told them that I'm not liable for this. If they show me the paperwork, then we can do it. Yeah.
Right on. Cool.
They're pretty insistent, but we do a lot of really fun, interactive events and seminars. Very cheesy, very punny. I love a pun, so we do Let's Get Physical, Back That Glass
fizz.
Up.
Back That Glass Up.
Back That Glass Up is a comparative glassware tasting. We have a MS coming in for that, MS Rob Bigelow. And we do Getting Grower with It. Get it? Like getting cheeky with it, but grow our champagne. So it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Nice. Yeah. Actually, you know, I think this is the first show that we've had discussing champagne. So for the listeners out there that might not know, can you tell us what a grower champagne is?
I'm glad you did that. You know, you weren't here just now when we were before.
Yeah.
On air. I actually had to ask too. Like I kind of had an idea, but lay it on us. Grower champagne. What does that mean?
Well, Champagne Week actually started emphasizing on bringing grower champagnes to the forefront. This was 4 years ago and before they really made a mark in New York. I would say they started popping up on menus about 2 years ago.
Popping.
Get it? Pun.
Oh, my God.
No pun intended. Grower champagnes are champagnes that are made by the actual farmers and grapes grown by the actual farmers.
There's no négociant.
No négociant. A lot of these big brands that you see all over.
Frenchy.
You know your champagne.
I know
champagne.
Words.
You know champagne jargon. A lot of the larger brands like Veuve, Clicquot, and Moët, they buy their grapes every year from farmers and to create their consistent cuvées that they offer year after year. Grower champagnes kind of more left to the surprise of how their crops are grown that year. And they kind of, it's more of a, you kind of don't know what you're going to get every year.
They only have the one field or the fields that are in their control. So they don't have enough grandiose size to sort of homogenize, right?
Is that what exactly, we're saying? Exactly.
So from year to year, the same label may be pretty dramatically different.
Pretty dramatically different. And that's, for me, that's very interesting. And I think a lot of the, you know, Psalms out there, especially in New York, and enthusiasts in New York, which are like to be on the forefront of food and drink. And it's kind of akin to the artisanal spirit, I would say. Sure. So.
Sure. I mean, you're dealing with nature, man.
Yeah.
It's nature's crazy, Southern.
Yes, catch as catch can.
So, exactly. So some of these producers, like how small are some of these producers? Like, how many hectares do they actually have? Like, what's the tiniest one that you can think of?
Oh my gosh, I honestly have no idea. Like, teeny tiny. Like you could, the size of Roberta's right now, whatever size that is, there can
Roberta's
be that small.
Roberta's Pizza, Bushwick Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Roberta's is huge, though.
Right.
It is kind of huge.
Well, but for a vineyard, I mean, yeah. Come on. Yeah, they can be teeny tiny, so...
That's crazy. I mean, we were talking a few weeks ago just about like the very small production of like, who were we talking to that said they only put out like 300 bottles a year? Were we talking about that?
Yeah, we were.
Well, we'll move on because we don't remember.
Right. Several growers like only put out 500 bottles a year,
crazy.
In Burgundy and Champagne. So some of the best, like, you'll never taste them in New York. I mean, it's tough. There's so many to find.
They won't even make it here because...
Right. They don't have the, stock to transport and import. And
they don't have enough supply to get everyone high.
Right.
Some of these guys are small enough that they're basically...
Just regional.
Just barely too big enough to drink all their own.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to drink as much as we can, and then we got to sell the rest because there's too much.
So in that situation, then it's kind of crazy. It's almost like a passion project, like a labor of love.
Absolutely.
Rather than trying to like get rich and retire off of it. It's not, they're not doing it because they have to. It's because they want to.
They're making their money and they're living by selling to larger houses, and then they're putting out their own amazing grower gems.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
It's kind of the...
So Champagne Week's coming up. I'm excited about that.
So exciting.
What gave you the idea? Like, where did you start with champagne?
Well,
yeah, what's the genesis of your interest in champagne in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, then how did Champagne Week arrive?
Yes. Yeah. So I've been working in events, first in fashion, then for magazines, and then I started in spirits events for 10 years. And, you always have a sponsor. And champagne sponsors in fashion and magazine world is always, evident. So that was my initial interest in pursuing maybe the bubbly world. But it was in 2013, I was in Bordeaux for Vin Expo, which is one of the largest wine shows in the world. It happens every other year in Bordeaux and every other year in Hong Kong.
It's such a cool city.
Yeah, it's incredible. And so I was in the hotel lobby. This is as simple as it was. I was in the hotel lobby, met this guy, Aussie, who is from Sweden and was a sommelier at an opera house there. And he was opening his own champagne bar within the opera house. And we decided to walk the show together because it was the size of 4 football fields. Wow. We were there for 3 days, and we just visited champagne producers. I told him I lived in New York, told him I did wine and spirits events and promotions, and the theme was help us get into New York. And literally just like that, I'm like, I'm going to start New York Champagne Week. So this was in June 2013, and I started Champagne Week in November 2013.
Wow.
And all of my mentors were like, wait a year, wait a year. And I'm like, no way, I'm doing it now. It's now or never.
That's great. Good for you.
Impatient.
Yep. It works in my...
But that gets stuff done.
It works in my professional life, not so well in my personal life, but I'm, Let's just leave it at that.
Let's talk for later. that's after we've had a bunch of champagne.
Yeah.
Post-champagne talk.
Which we're going to in a minute because there's some sitting here on the table.
Right.
But so Champagne Week now. So in that fast of a time, what was it?
Yeah.
6 months you just said? June? Yeah. And you cranked out the first one and it was a success.
It was.
So then that spawned, of course, year two.
I didn't have a... I wouldn't say, well, people in France were like, who is this girl and what is she doing? If they weren't the growers that I was helping, they were like, what is going on? So you're cool. One and two are challenging.
Well, all right. We're past the challenging. We're into year. We're about to be year four. And it's going great. You've expanded it. It's 7 days long now.
7 days long. We're doing pop-ups in Paris and London in February. 2-day events. 1 day will be a big industry bash. 1 day will be education and classes. We're also going to be doing Vegas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco in April.
Cool.
And I'm teaming up with really cool somms in every city that are friends of mine and kind of peers of mine to co-host with in every city, including London and Paris.
That's great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Hey, I have a question, actually.
When do you sleep?
Well, they have that.
I'm a machine.
So just out of curiosity, because I know that like cognac, for instance, the 98% of cognac is export. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the situation is? Is champagne more domestically enjoyed in France, or is it also heavily exported?
The UK is the top market for champagne.
Oh, okay.
Ironically, or maybe not. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of hen weekends, you know.
Gotcha.
What's a hen weekend?
In France, apparently, they're the third most popular market for champagne consumption. But don't quote me on that. But that's what Drinks Business and some news said in the last, 6 months. So, yeah. But I think it's the UK, the US, and then Paris.
Yeah.
Scotland, in particular, I heard Edinburgh is huge. Hen weekend is a bachelorette party.
Never heard it referred to like that before. Is that how they talk about it in
that's
the UK?
That's why we
in the UK.
Oh, okay.
That's why we have this show, Souther.
I'm always learning. I've learned so much.
And I spent a weekend in London for the first time in forever back in June, and I can say I drank more champagne in London than I drank in France for the 2 weeks I was in France before.
Yowzer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe in 2 days I drink more.
Oh, wow. I never think of the UK as being a place to drink champagne.
Yeah. Well, they're huge for sparkling wine in general. They apparently, they founded sparkling wine in the early 1600s, and champagne claimed champagne in 1690s. So it was 1620 they found sparkling UK wine, and then champagne... Claim champagne.
No offense to the UK.
The French co-opted it and perfected it. Yeah. I don't think wine from the UK.
Well, they're bringing it back. Gin? It's supposed to be delicious. I'm actually working with some UK sparkling wine in 2017.
So. How do you do it? How do you do it all? It's crazy.
Crushing it, right? Get it. It's a pun.
I ask myself the same question at the end of every week. How did I get through this week?
Like every week is champagne week to you. Yeah. Okay, cool. I guess we should probably take a break now.
Let's take a break, but then when we come back, we're going to crack into this bottle, which is very special to you because it's your label.
Yep.
And you cranked this out nearly as fast as you cranked out that first...
About the same time frame.
The first champagne week. We'll talk about how all that got started as well when we come back after the break.
All right.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by TacStar, and this track is called Third Degree Rug Burns.
Today's program was brought to you by Estes Public Relations. Navigating the world of media can be tough. Lucky for you, it's our specialty. At Estes Public Relations, we specialize in media relations and marketing for the culinary, spirits, and travel industries. Our clients, including award-winning chefs, four-star hotels, and artisanal food products and innovative beverage brands, have been featured in media outlets nationwide. Each member of our PR team brings a unique talent to our firm, from TV training, creative writing, and digital marketing, to recipe editing, graphic design, and spirits education. In a market crowded with competition, we can help your message stand out by connecting with our long-standing relationships with industry influencers and journalists at top print, TV, radio, and online outlets to tell your story. Where can Estes Public Relations take you? For more information, visit estespr.com.
And we are back.
Yes. I've got a bottle in my hand here.
When do you not?
Be careful where you point that cork.
It's still in the cage. Boule de rêve.
Correct.
Which means dream bubbles. All right. So this is your label.
It's my label.
All right. I'm going to crack it open while you talk about
Just launched last Friday. So you guys are some of the first to taste it.
Cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. How many people were at the, where was the launch?
It was with my national retail partner, Bottle Rocket, Wine and Spirit.
Ah.
Ooh, yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go that big.
Love it.
That was a little loud. Sorry.
It's a really big bottle, y'all.
I'm going to pour.
Oh, nice.
And talk about these little glasses fast as well.
Thank you.
What are these little glasses, real quick? You told
Govinos. I don't go anywhere without them.
Govino. It's a very nice wine glass, but it's plastic.
I didn't know if you'd have the proper glassware.
Well, we got it all. You don't like mason jars?
Yeah. I do. I love them. But this is going to actually open up the wine a little bit.
Cool. Oh, thanks.
Pass me that other one for Pierre. Pierre, I got some bubbly for you in here.
Yeah.
All right, these talk about your wine.
Great. Nice. They have like a little divot in the side for your thumb.
Yeah. Right,
they're perfect. They're perfect beach.
So you cannot drop this.
Yeah.
I challenge accepted.
Watch me.
So champagne boule de rêve. If you say it...
Dream bubble.
Yeah. If you mispronounce it, it could translate to dream balls. So you have to be careful with how you say boule.
Yeah. Well,
French perverts love to point that out to me.
The French perverts.
You mean...
So
you
all
mean,
of them.
You know so who you are.
So French people.
So... Again, quick to jump on ideas and run with them. Back in March, I had the idea to launch my own champagne and explore how to make that happen. I was meeting a few people that were coming out with their own labels, and I was just like, if they can do it, I can do it. So thanks. That was definitely like the light, the what's the saying?
Yeah, that's it.
Something in French.
Lit the fire in the, sure. You know, whatever. I don't think I can think of that word on the radio.
The motivator.
The motivator.
You can say whatever the fuck you want on this.
Oh,
on this
great. Thing, yeah. I love the word fuck. Yeah. So if you don't like it, fuck you.
That's what she told me before the show.
Yeah, I've told everyone.
That's like the kind of shit you say when you're up in a club holding a bottle in your hand, like covered in champagne. If you don't like it, fuck you.
I've told everyone that. I'm like, if you don't like it, fuck you, because it's done.
Yeah, there's no undoing it now.
One and done.
The cork's in the bottle.
So I just started shopping different people to potentially work with, and I had remembered this third-generation family brand that I had met, Champagne Lombard, and I really just dug their vibe. When I went to visit them to pick the cuvée that I wanted to use for my label... their winery, they have Dolly paintings all in the winery, and they have a whole room filled with vintage motorbikes. They're refurbishing so people can go and zip around champagne on the motorbikes. So they were really just cool and kind of cutting edge and modern. And they were redoing all of their labels to be more modern. So I just thought it was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And they were willing to work with me, aka not charge me an arm and a leg to do this. And so I literally came up with the idea in March, confirmed partnership with them in April, went to Champagne in June, tasted 5 cuvées. This one spoke to me. And again, it was a one-day decision. Came home, got my label designed in July. Labels were printed in August. They take forever in France, so it took like 30 days. And it was on the water in September here in early
Kinko's
October.
Down on Houston's pretty good.
So
Two-hour turnaround.
It happened really fast. It's 100% Blanc de Noir, so Pinot Noir grape, which is not expected. I don't think people would have expected me to go one a single grape. It's a 2011 Premier Cru, and it is 4% dosage, so extra brut. It's 4% sugar.
Gotcha.
It's really nice and dry.
It's nice and dry. It's got really delicate bubbles. My French friend the other day, when he tasted it, said, "Ooh, I like the tiny boule."
tiny ball.
No. And it's exciting. You know, I brought in a very limited amount. I only brought in a pallet, so that's 1,050 bottles. And really, it's strategic.
And we have one of them right here.
It's strategically placed in various restaurants that are involved in Champagne Week and at my retail partner, Bottle Rocket. And then I walked into East Village Wines the other day near my apartment and was super surprised because the owner was like, "Here, I got it." And I'm like, "He didn't even tell me." So I was excited to see it there. And
cool.
Yeah, people have really liked it.
It's great. I really like it too.
Thank you. I'm glad.
You guys should go buy the other 1,049 bottles.
please do.
Yeah. What inspired the name Dream Bubble?
So
Dream Bubble, Dream Bubbles. Is it plural?
Dream Bubble.
Dream Bubble.
It should be plural. that's what happens.
Well,
when you move.
Fuck you. It's already on the label.
Yeah, that's what happens when you move fast with ideas.
Hey, done is better than perfect.
So
you can always go back and adjust later.
Right.
Next season's model.
Yeah. I was living on near Irving Place on 17th Street for the last several or 4 years, and I used to refer to it as Dream Street, and on social media and to friends and everything, I just always called it Dream Street. And when I was brainstorming names, one of my friends was like, "You should call it Dream Street." And I was like, "Ew, I hate the name Brew in for a champagne, but you're on to something." And then I was just like, Dream Bubble. I don't know.
I like it. Yeah. Irving is kind of a dreamy little street. It's like,
I feel like it is like kind of a dream
short
bubble in New York. It's this like tiny little like bubble.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
so
it.
Really that makes sense. That's, yeah.
Cool.
I came up with it.
What's delicious, and I bet it goes great with food.
It does.
I'm a little hungry right now.
It was meant to...
Bacon, egg, and cheese?
Yeah, everything, really.
Well, you were talking, you've got a lot of pairing events coming up with food, and I had asked you, I didn't really think about it, but champagne kind of pairs with all cuisines of the world, and further, it pairs with every course of the meal. You can
have
champagne with appetizers all the way through dessert, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you can say about most wines and or spirits.
Right. Yeah, it pairs beautifully with everything from Indian to sushi to...
You said sushi was one of your favorites, right?
It is.
You know what?
I
like champagne with barbecue. I'm just putting it there.
Oh, yeah. This one would be amazing with barbecue.
So there's looking at me...
Pig?
You know what? Yeah. I mean, like, think about it.
I'm thinking.
I know you're thinking
about it. Be drinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's different types of cuvées. So like a rosé is going to go better with something, you know, whatever. Like right. Just this weekend I went to, you know, Birds and Bubbles and their fried chicken and had a really amazing champagne rosé straight through the meal. So yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Big fan.
Have you messed around with it in cocktails?
I'm willing to, which most champagne labels don't like to play with cocktails.
Right. Just asking because you've been around that world.
Right. Well,
us.
I'm used to manage the champagne sponsorships for Tales of the Cocktail. So, and I had positioned the brand I worked with for that, Nick LaFoyot, as being like the champagne cocktail champagne. Yeah. And they continue that incentive. And I'm happy for mine to mix with like cocktails and spirits. So, it definitely works. I mean, the dosage is so low that it would play really nicely with any sort of sugary or citrusy spirits and flavors. So I think it would be beautiful with a cocktail.
I don't do a lot of mixing with champagne. Do you?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, oh, that's right. We talked about this before. You're like, anything on your menu you can add to make it a royal, right?
Dave Wondrich said that in his book. Like, I mean, it's something I noticed in Vibe. He was like talking about all these classic cocktails, and you know, it's just kind of like a running thing where he'd be talking about the Manhattan cocktail, and it gets to the end of it, and he's like, and it's not bad with champagne on top of it either, and then like the old fashioned. And it's pretty good with champagne on top of it.
I mean, I love a Sealbach.
Yeah. I think, you know what's funny about that? I think in the book, he's talking about a French 75, and he's like, And why not add more champagne to it?
Right.
Yeah. It's like it already has champagne in it.
With champagne. Yeah.
I would much prefer to use real champagne than Prosecco in a cocktail.
Sure.
In a champagne
cocktail,
because the sugar in Prosecco is 20 plus,
yeah,
generally, versus 6 to 9 in your average champagne.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's a better
go. And the Cilbach is a beautiful cocktail.
Not a lot of people do it right, really. I mean, I could spend all day tasting Cilbachs and have like one that I think is on point. The Airmail,
again.
Awesome cocktail.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a daiquiri, but put some champagne on top of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love classic champagne cocktail.
Oh, me too.
You know, I think it's such an elegant drink, and it harkens to a time that is very specific in cocktail history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very underrated.
Well, absolutely is.
Yeah.
And given my connection to the cocktail world, because my company, City Sip, which is my parent company, mm-hmm. was all spirits in the beginning for the first, I would say, 3 years, I want my champagne to be at the cocktail bars, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, you have a 1,050 bottles mm-hmm. that came in, and you have to be very strategic about the placement for it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you want it to be in the places you'd like to go to.
And that's such a cool place to be in, because I'm not like hawking my champagne. I'm like, right. I'm kind of able to be a bit choosy and make, I don't, you know, if it's not going to be at a restaurant, then I'm going to just do a party with it kind of thing.
Well, we can do that too.
We can do that too.
Let's have a party.
And now we're going to like have a pig and pop.
Ah,
who's going to be cooking the pig?
You.
Oh, you are?
I don't know. I think I just got recruited.
Cool. All right. I will be attending.
Sounds like I'm cooking a pig.
I can pop bottles. My favorite thing to do is
saber.
I don't saber. I go outside every time I pop a bottle, and you know, people know me, know that I always wear hats. So I take the cage off. And then I loosen the cork a little bit to where it starts moving up. And then I let it pop straight up in the air. It'll go up for like 4 or 5 stories. And then as it comes down, I'll catch the cork in my hat. And then people who are at the bar, they're watching this happen. And then they're like, yeah,
you're amazing.
It actually happened. My first job in New York City was in Hell's Kitchen on 9th Avenue. And I would do that. And I didn't know. I just moved from Oklahoma. I wasn't thinking about it. I popped it, went up, and I wasn't wearing a hat at the time, but I would catch it in my other hand, and some cops ran up to me. Like the crowd at the bar is like applauding, and some cops walked up to me, and they're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm entertaining just, people?
Entertaining, yeah, I was popping a bottle. And they're like, you can't do that. That's an open container. Like, we can fine you for that. And I was like, oh, I didn't know, man. Sorry, I just moved to the city. Which is bullshit, because Oklahoma has really strict laws. But they were like, you know what? We can give you some fines for this.
Or you can pour us a glass of champagne.
No, they were like, oh, wait. If you would have dropped the cork or not caught it, then we would give you the fine. But since you caught it, that was pretty cool. Just don't do it anymore. Of course, I kept doing it.
Well, that has me worried, and Sather knows why.
these flying corks are more of an issue than you'd think, Damon.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Don't more people die from flying corks than was it spider bites or something?
That's it. That's the quote.
More
people die from errant champagne corks than die of venomous spider bites.
So you better watch out with that trick.
Here's the creepy and excellent and awesome addition to that statement. Most of those deaths occur at weddings.
That's fucked up.
Right?
We were just talking about this before you got here. We didn't think you'd know.
Oh, I'm a encyclopedia of the weird.
If you know me at all, you know that I'm kind of a nihilist. So it's really entertaining to me that most of that happens at weddings. Such a celebratory day. 3 days from now, we're going to have a funeral.
Sorry, Grandma.
Or the groom.
You're partied out.
I mean, the chances of, not to get all morbid, but the chances of me like dying from a cork pop is kind of like...
pretty high.
Yeah, because you're around it so much. Yeah. I just don't go to a lot of weddings, I guess.
I don't. I avoid them like the plague. I went to one the other week for the first time in 5 years. I actually say no.
Wow.
I don't like them.
The shame plague.
I've been to 2 weddings since the early 90s. Just 2. One of them was mine.
I politely took...
And then I
never went to another one again until Chris Elford and Anu Apte got married, and they convinced me to come and be not only at, but in their wedding, so I couldn't say no. I love those guys.
I politely decline, like, being in party, the party. I was in 2, I don't like it anymore.
How do you die from a... It's a cork.
Let's talk about that. I have no idea. Like,
what, do you get hit right in the esophagus? What's it? Where's
like,
it?
Right in the temple or something?
It's got to be in your temple, like...
I mean, let's get some. I want to
like your mouth.
Get on the computer.
Your mouth is open and it flies into your throat and it suffocates you.
Like, way ahead of you. I am on the computer.
Thank you, Pierre.
Yeah. And honestly, really no reported deaths. Only ruptured eyeballs.
Eyeballs.
Yeah, ruptured eyeballs and stitches to the eyeball as a result.
Oh God,
that's horrible.
Another fun fact. Is the amount of bubbles in a bottle of champagne.
How many would you guess, Damon, in the millions?
It's...
I'm just going to hint.
No, it's something like 9 million or...
He's way off.
Way off.
You talking about a split bottle? This is, we're talking 750.
No. Oh, wait, is it 9 or 90? It's like 90...
Nope, still way, way, way off.
Tell me.
49 million.
49 million bubbles.
In one bottle of...
I knew there was a 9 in there. Come
on,
guys.
Good job.
Give me a split.
You got a 1 in 10 shot of getting a digit, right?
I kind of want to know what you're getting from my show. Like, come on. What kind of notes are you getting? What are you getting on the nose?
Or like that's really easy and bready on the nose. Right now. I mean, like, you know, it's got a really nice, like, kind of...
Like the Bosque pears, like brown... What is brown pear? Is that a Bosque pear?
So, yeah, I mean, like, to me, it's very, like, appropriate for the fall.
This is new.
Yeah?
These are new... Yeah, this is new feedback. Do you want to know what
the professionals say?
Yeah.
The people who know what they're talking about say? Sure, lay it on us.
A little lemon raspberry tart.
Yeah. I mean, I get citrus for sure.
Lemon raspberry tart.
With an almond finish.
Ooh. That's that sort of...
And as it gets warmer, it actually kind of rounds... It becomes a little bit more well-rounded. So the colder it is, you get that citrus, like, boom, through the roof. Yeah. And then it kind of... And the berry. And then as it gets a little bit more well-rounded or warmer, you get a lot more of the almond and... And maybe like a bready note, even though it's 100% Pinot Noir. Yeah, I get that a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe I'm just hungry.
I'm hungry too. I had some dumplings in my fridge and I considered bringing them because I didn't eat them all last night. I went crazy on Drunken Dumplings, a new place in East Village.
It's actually called Drunken Dumplings?
Yeah.
Man,
I have eaten there 3 times in the last week and it's amazing with champagne.
Do you get to bring your own, or are you bringing them home?
I bring it home.
I try not to bring food home.
Well, they only have beer, and I really wanted to have champagne with it. Not last night. I had champagne with it last Friday, but last night I did.
How many bottles of champagne do you have in your apartment?
Not a lot.
How many?
People think that I am, like, shitting champagne. I'm not. I have so many people come to me asking me for champagne for events. Like, hey, can you help us get champagne for this event? Can you help us get champagne for this? Can you help us get champagne for your wedding? I don't know where they think I get it from. Or like,
from
yes.
The champagne region.
Well, I work with champagne brands, but, you know, I don't have a lot. Right now, I do have more than usual. I probably have 9 bottles, but normally I have like 1.
Yeah.
I don't have a collection. I drink it. I'm a hostess in every sense of the word. When I'm not hosting Champagne Week, I'm hosting dinners or people at my apartment. Or people come over to my house for just a glass of wine. I put out a cheese plate. Like, I'm just a hostess. Yeah. And I'm very generous. I give away my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's... back when I was working at Linnell's, there was Ben at the time.
What are we doing?
Linnell's boyfriend.
More, she said.
More.
All that talk of champagne. Now more.
I always thought this was really great. This guy, Ben, comes in and he is buying a bottle of champagne. Just very casually, you know? And I was like, so what's the occasion, man? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, hey, you buying a bottle of champagne? You celebrating or something? He's like, no, man, I'm restocking. Yeah. I celebrated last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the coolest thing. He's like, yeah, you should always have a bottle of champagne in your refrigerator, like, ready to go. Just in case.
I do agree with that. I try to keep one in my fridge.
We're going to start a new segment on the show. That's going to be one of Damon's rules of being a gentleman. Always have a bottle of champagne in the fridge.
Well, you know what I like about you, Souther? You have rules too, man. You've got a lot of rules that you put on yourself.
they're all just for me. But I think some of your rules could apply to everyone. That's a good one. I think I'm going to adopt that.
Well, we talked about that earlier. Champagne Week, I mean, one of the main, like, you know, mottos is champagne is not just for celebrations. Champagne isn't just for celebrations, and it's also to remove the any sort of stodginess that comes with it. We don't want to be like, oh, you can't, you know. I don't want to make it this expensive, inaccessible thing, and I also don't want to make it just for celebrations. Like, the reality is, like we said, going to an Indian restaurant on Curry Row or whatever, like, take a bottle of champagne. It's going to be delicious.
I think it
deserves to be drunk every day. Really.
Yeah, you should be celebrating life every day also.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Napoleon had a quote. It was like, I drink champagne in victory to celebrate, and I drink champagne in defeat to console myself, or something along those lines. I always thought that was cool.
My favorite. Basically,
that motherfucker's always drinking champagne.
I'm basically saying, yeah, I'm always drinking champagne every
day. My favorite is, may all your pain be champagne.
Champagne for my real friends, real pain
for my sham friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
It had to come up before the show.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good one, though. On my email signature, like the sign out or whatever you call it, it says, I only drink champagne on the days that end with Y.
That's most days.
That's most every, days.
Every day.
Is it?
Yes.
Every damn day.
Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for bringing this bottle in. It's lovely seeing you
and
talking
to you.
And
your story. This is a great story.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Thank you. You know,
I always say to a lot of people, I feel like, you know, Souther and I both constantly, we feel like we're doing like a ton of things in the city, but you just kind of lapped us a few times.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, I always tell people, like, it's New York City, man. It's not a vacation town. The hustle is real. And you just made me feel like I'm being really lazy. But if being lazy is sitting here hanging out with you guys drinking champagne, then I will own up to it.
Lazy I will be.
All right, so everyone check out Champagne Week.
You have a website for that?
Yeah, it's nychampagneweek.com.
I could have guessed that.
Pretty easy to find. It's coming up. If you're in the business, it's complimentary to the people in the food and beverage industry.
Nice.
You just have to prove that you're in it, and it's not that much of a vetting process. And and then there's a bunch more events offered to the public who is just into champagne than ever before. So.
Which everyone should be, as we just discussed.
Yeah.
You should be into champagne.
Right.
Go get a bottle to drink tonight and go ahead and buy
get a bottle of Bleu de Rev.
And always have a bottle in your fridge.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Blaine.
Thank you, guys.
I'm glad we got
Mahalo.
Mahalo, by the way.
Mahalo.
BT Dubs.
BT Dubs.
So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Souther, who do we have on next week?
I don't have anyone committed for next week.
Well, that was a real bomb.
I'll just come back with another bottle.
I've got a couple of people on the hook, but I don't have anyone that's confirmed, so I can't speak for next week yet. Sorry.
All right. Well, nevertheless, listen to Heritage Radio Network for many other shows like this. Until next week, I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And Blaine, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers,
guys.
Thank you so much. Oh.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.